Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. Welcome to Fightful. It is April 24th. 2024. I was originally going to have tonight off, as I had this afternoon off for the hump. John Alba filled in for me on that show. He's filling in for me again tonight, but man, special circumstances. I had to play through the pain for a few minutes here. I'll just get this stuff out of the way. Leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap the bell for notifications, super chats and humper chats to get your questions or statements right on the air. And subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. Let's forego all of the plugs. We got Alex Pawlowski. We got John Alba here. John, how you feeling after that angle on AEW Dynamite?
it was an angle. I'll tell you what. You know, regardless of what you thought of that angle, you know, Tony Khan has waited 40 years for that moment. He has waited 40 years to be able to take that first bump.
Yep.
And regardless of what you think of it, that was, I'm sure, no doubt, a very fulfilling moment for him. I thought there were a lot of small details in it that were great. There was some other stuff that definitely got a good chuckle out of me. But I guess, you know what, at this rate, I've had a few wrestlers text me even since this happened. All the sentiment seems to be Tony finally accepted he's a character on the show.
Got it. I mean,
and that's that.
He gets as much heat He gets more heat than anybody on his show. Mm-hmm. Alex, what were your thoughts seeing this as... We saw, to set the stage for everybody, we saw the Elite arrive to the building, and we're talking Okada, the Young Bucks, Jack Perry. We saw them go into Tony Khan's office, including this look at the camera from Jack Perry. Tony Khan agreed to meet Jack Perry in the ring at the end of the show. Jack Perry encouraged him to shake his hand, reinstate him, and make history with him. And then they beat the living shit out of him.
Well, Tony Khan did shake the hand, which I'm assuming is a nonverbal agreement. That's basically like signing a contract. Jack Perry has been reinstated. And then immediately thereafter, he punched him in the gut with a microphone. And then the Young Bucks came in going, "What are you doing? Let us do it instead." And this segment made me positively giddy. I was literally dancing in my living room, cackling. Like when Jack Perry just gave the look, the Jack Perry look while hugging him, I was like, this is gonna be too. When they, I didn't thought they were gonna do the EVP trigger. When they full did like the the 450 Meltzer driver thing, I was just out.
There is something so beautiful about Tony Khan taking a Meltzer driver of all things.
Yeah. I was, if anything, because I mean, listen, there are going to be people that think this is the greatest thing in the world. There's going to be people that swear that this is going to kill AEW. I was so thoroughly entertained by this. Screamed and laughed and all kinds of things over this because I couldn't believe it was actually happening. You know what I mean? Like, he has been adamant about not being like an on-screen character.
Khan showed up in this.
When his dad walked out and looking around like, what is this? That was it.
During NFL draft week.
I know. Tony Khan needs to be in the war room tomorrow with a neck brace on. Like fully commit that the worlds are colliding between his two worlds. Let's do it.
Yeah,
that would be sincerely hilarious.
Sean, I'll tell you, man, the one thing I really did like about all this, I've been a long proponent of this, that I felt that AEW could really, really improve on. And honestly, the times that we see it most is when the Young Bucks are involved, is the show long storytelling on the A story. And they did a really good job at that with this particular story, where multiple times throughout the night you were reminded of what's going on, and they built to it in the main event. And I'm curious to see how that's reflected. But I thought that was a really, really effective way of building that. And when Tony came out as Smiley McGee there, you knew something was coming his way.
Oh, yeah, they had to counter that because he was way too excited about this. He was way too excited to have Jack Perry back. And I'll say, like, what we've seen out of Jack Perry since the footage aired, I think he's done a great job. In Chicago, I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
The reveal the other night I thought was phenomenal and his facial reactions there. And I thought tonight was very good too. I didn't expect Tony Khan to take a back bump off
to
the ribs. It's not easy to do either.
No.
I'm laughing. I'm not laughing because it's. I'm not laughing at him. I'm laughing because I can't believe this happened.
You're laughing at the ridiculousness of the fact that this actually happened.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it so much. You know what this was, Alex? This is AEW's Braun throwing Roman off a loading dock attached to a gurney.
I have not reacted to something on wrestling television like that probably since Braun Strowman threw a dummy on a gurney off a loading dock. And then they pretended it was Roman Reigns, and then he lifted an ambulance. I was like, God, what is happening? Oh, God.
I would have loved it if Jack Perry went and immediately turned over a semi-truck backstage. That would have really, really just kept me going.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's wild that this actually happened. It's a matter now, like, how frequently is Tony seen on TV? What is his presentation? It's not Austin stunning McMahon, because that was a clear baby face and a clear heel where you're kind of seeing the inverse on that. And if Tony Khan is on TV presented as a baby face, is that something people are going to embrace? I don't know about that, because crowd went nuts for this. They were like, yo, we want to see Tony get beat up. So that's going to be interesting too.
It's tried and true. I mean, you know, it happened with Vince McMahon. It's happened with every authority figure. It happened with Dixie Carter even, although I don't know if that's the comparison you ever want to draw. Yeah. It happened with Eric Bischoff. Like, and I see a guy who, I'm not even going to allude to him, but saying like, oh, that's usually the sign of the end. Well, no, when Eric Bischoff did it, it was the sign of shit getting really hot. When Vince McMahon did it, it was a sign of shit getting really hot. When Dixie did it, not so much. It was the beginning of a descent there as well. Right. But I mean, listen, I was entertained and intrigued by this segment, especially the shot of the Elite up there, because Jack Perry gets heat, the Young Bucks get heat, and Okada is everything that Tony Khan and AEW thought he would be. Tony Khan saw Okada as a top level heel American TV guy for years before he had the opportunity to get him, and so far he has delivered.
Oh yeah.
And we're talking about a landscape where hopefully there's upward trajectory on Adam Cole coming back. Hopefully, probably not anytime soon. MJF, hopefully around the corner. Kenny Omega will be back next week, but I think that'll just be a hi Winnipeg, how you doing type of thing. Honestly, I think it'll probably be him getting his ass whipped by the Elite.
I mean, right now. At least an angle if he can't actually, if he's not there to take physical stuff, angle where he's like, I can't even be here right now. I got to go kind of a thing. Yeah. Like, he confronts them and they, you know, they leave without physicality. If he can't take a bump, if he can't take a bump, he's getting his ass whipped.
Yeah. I think that's probably what we'll see there. And I kind of like it, man. Like it is one of the more loaded as far as like, heel top groups that AEW has had. I don't feel like they're going to go the way of the Pinnacle. I don't think that, you know, we will. The Inner Circle was obviously successful in its time, but
Sean, AEW is built on the back of the Elite, right? Like that's sure. Why AEW exists in the first place. And regardless of what people want to say about the Bucks, they were the fabric of the company. And when the Elite is hot, and people are talking about it, it is something that can help support all the other stories that go on around it in the company. So, you know, look, we're not going to overreact here. This is one night. This is one angle. But there's definitely evidence in Jack Perry's reactions and receptions here that people are intrigued by this presentation of the Elite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something there. There's something to that.
I am certainly intrigued by this version of the Elite, but man, what a show closer there. What a show closer. But John, I want to thank you for filling in for me.
Of course.
I'm going to go blow my nose for a half an hour now.
I'm glad that you had to put yourself over and get yourself out here, even though you said you weren't going to be here. So
I know I had to. After the way I died laughing at the end of this show.
Did that clear your sinuses up?
It did. Like, it did a little bit. Like it me the energy to push through. I'm like the starting pitcher these days who goes two innings.
The opener.
The opener. There you go. That's me. Go. I'm the opener.
Sure. I hate openers.
Good.
Go ahead. You're coming up with, I know what you're trying to do here. I know what you're about to do. Yeah, go ahead. Say it. I know what you're about to do.
You know who doesn't open?
Yeah, here it is. There you go. Exactly.
Springsteen. Yeah, he's got a huge ego.
Yeah, okay. There it is. Yeah, he doesn't need to open. Goodbye, Sean. See you later. Bye. I was going to actually disconnect him, Alex.
No, he knew when to get out. Leave him wanting more.
Man, we got so many super chats and humper chats here. Keep sending them in, guys. We got to get to some of these just to get them out of the way here.
Yeah.
I mean, Parker Hines saying 911. I like to report an assault. Seriously, that came out of nowhere. Color me intrigued. Then Philip Emo, the final boss, Shad Khan is here. That was crazy that Shad Khan showed up on TV.
That one took me out, man. I could not believe the Shad Khan was there. He literally looked like, what has happened to my son? Like, he just didn't understand any of this. It looked like if he had to be explained what professional wrestling was, like somebody had to explain that to him, not just the angle. But what is all of this? What has my son been doing with all the money I've given him? That's what it feels like to me.
My son paid all this money to get beat up? What's up with that?
What is this?
Ryan saying TK deserves that for all those Jericho segments.
It's all his fault. So
we will talk all about that. I want to keep burning through these because we got so many just about this segment. Ron saying the Bucks are good Christian boys. Tony deserves that for suspending our scapegoat. Shad, you're up next. And this is what actually turning chicken shit into chicken salad looks like. Wild they went there with TK. It's almost like just reading these, and even as we're still kind of processing it, there's like a shock factor to it.
Yes. I mean, I didn't think they were going to go this far. I thought maybe like he takes a clothesline bump or something, like a simple short arm lariat, and everybody runs in and gets Jack Perry out of there and whatever. But I didn't think they were going to go full. Now TK Driver, they've since changed the name. I forgot about that. So now it's a perfect name for it because it's the thing they do to Tony Khan. But I didn't think they were going to go there. And then, you know, being escorted out. Also, the Bucks, like Matthew Nicholas Jackson being like, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jacksonville. Jacksonville, what a great crowd. Thank you so much. Daly's Place, we thank you. They were doing the Tony Khan wave goodbye to the crowd thing.
Dude.
In his stead, because he couldn't. He's out. So we'll do it for him.
The whole EVP characters, they've been mocking Tony Khan mannerisms the entire time.
It's been so good.
There's a lot of people who don't like it.
I don't understand. I mean, like, listen, if you're a bad faith, I hate anything AEW does, I actually don't watch the show, don't tell anybody. Like, that, those kind of people, I have no time for you. But if you're a person who watches the show and you don't enjoy what this angle is, I don't understand. Like, maybe it's like, I just want more, give me more graps, give me more just great wrestling. I don't need any of the other stuff around it. And that's fine. But I feel like, and I agree to an extent, but I feel like the stuff they're doing with stories, when it's good stories, that only enhances all of the other stuff around it. We're going to get amazing wrestling every week on AEW television leading up to amazing wrestling on the pay-per-views. If you can do something like this that builds intrigue outside of a wrestling match, that I think can only enhance the overall product. And I think that is what this is doing.
Well, right. Well, it's you get the bad faith that are always like, well, there's no stories being told. And then you have a very substantial story being told here. And then it will be, well, Tony shouldn't be out there bumping. And right.
Well,
yeah, I mean, It's definitely a lot of goalposts moving on
that. It's one bump. It's one bump that I think really adds to the... Now the elite, the new elite, are the big bads for sure in the company. They're going to be in control now. I don't even know if you need to see Tony Khan on screen again for a long time. Well,
and what that services, Alex, is it services that eventually, whenever that may come, whether it's blood and guts or whatever
it is,
you're going to get this uprising from within of a bunch of baby faces that can be elevated by something like this, by toppling the authority, per se. Right. And maybe Tony Khan comes off the top rope in a doomsday device in that match, whenever that happens. Yeah. But whatever it may be, you know, you're setting up an opportunity to elevate some baby faces into a prominent position eventually. Not yet. It's some time away. This is not an angle that should be burned through, that should be rushed through. It's got to take time.
Yeah.
But it definitely is something that is going to happen over a period of time, in my opinion. We got more Super Chats, Delay Grads, Young Bucks Attack TK. When do we chant CM Punk? Maddie saying, had to find a way to get Jack booed. This was it. There were a lot of people that were just into the excitement of the angle, I feel like.
Yes, I think that they are into like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm watching this. That's certainly what I felt like, and I was at home. If I had been in the arena, I have no idea what I would have done.
Yeah.
But like, so I fully get that. I think that next week, if and when they do the same thing to Kenny Omega, people are going to boo. You know what I mean? Like, they do this to Tony Khan, all of a sudden it's like, I can't believe what I'm watching. Next week, they will get serious heat for Kenny Omega coming out and sticking up for AEW, the place that, hey, Bucks, Matt, Nick, we built this. What are you doing? I can't understand this. And then they attack him. Everyone's going to...
In Winnipeg, nonetheless.
Winnipeg, too.
Yeah. So that definitely, I agree with you on that one. Ryan saying, I love the ending. It's time to lean into it all. Zach saying, TK has to wear a neck brace at the NFL draft. Let's see. Let's see if he's truly committed to the bid. Jordan agrees with you. He says the Bucks are attacking Kenny next week. If he can take it, we don't know. We don't know if he can actually physically take the bump. A force of will. I love all this. The Elite have taken the roles of Vince Attitude Era level heels. And it is amazing. Small snippets of life. The Jack Perry smirk is the best.
That is my new favorite face in wrestling. That particular smile is going to carry him far.
Do you think it's a spoof of the Punk meme?
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
You know where Punk did the smirk?
Yeah, the smirk. He does the smirk. I mean, I'm curious. A smirk. I don't know if that's
the smirk.
A smirk is a smirk.
It's very Seinfeldian of us to argue
right,
this.
Yeah, yes, yes. A smirk is a smirk, but a smirk isn't necessarily that smirk. Not all smirks are the same smirk.
But if you're going to smirk, you got to know if you're doing the proper smirk. Are you smirking enough? Let's dive into the show. We got a lot of super chats to still get to, and I promise you we will, because there are just so many. This is a huge angle that has a lot of people talking. And the show out started with the Elite and Jack Perry arriving at the arena. I don't want to get too far into that. Sean already told you what happened. But interesting choice to shift from that into the confrontation with the best friends. Chuck Taylor siding with Orange Cassidy over.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For Trent, and he challenges Trent to a parking lot brawl, which of course is a nice callback to the famous Best Friends parking lot brawl with a PMP. I enjoyed the angle, but the placement of it felt very odd for me for this to be starting the show, especially coming off a pay-per-view where you just crowned a new world champion.
Right. I agree. I was surprised they didn't have any swerve mic time whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, you come out, everyone loves, you hear the Orange Cat, you hear Jane by Starship. And you're like, okay, here comes Orange Cassidy. We're getting into it, especially Daly's Place, who just like they're the crowd who was there the whole time through the pandemic. They saw the rise of Orange Cassidy. It's a kind of a cool thing. Like if it wasn't Jacksonville, maybe they do it something different. But the idea that we're going to get to see Orange Cassidy, cool. And then he gets thrown down the ramp by Trent. And all of a sudden, like, oh, we're in a hot angle here. And I think that perhaps you do that. I don't know where a good spot is. Because, like, you have this gauntlet thing, which we'll talk about, which nobody, even the commentators, seem to know what the hell that was about. And there's a lot of other things, like Swerve's first match after being the champion. There's a bunch of stuff that they did in the show. I'm not sure where else I would have put it. I think it ended up being the right thing because everyone was super into Chuck standing up for himself versus Trent.
They were into Chuck and him saying a hard shit on air too. It was a big thing. That was a big moment. But I don't know, man. I felt like coming off of the pay-per-view where you had so many different major talking points that you could have started the show on a really, really intriguing note on. I wasn't sure that this was the segment to start it with. Now, I'm not producing the show. It is what it is. You know, that's their call. You got a new champion. Ospreay Danielson was the greatest match on American soil ever. Yeah. You had this Elite story, which we got the peak of in the very beginning. It just seemed a little out of place to start the show. But nonetheless, it was an intriguing angle, in my opinion, especially starting off with the brawl. And I don't know about you, man. I've been there for wrestling many times. I think Daly's Place is such a fantastic pro wrestling venue.
It's very unique. I like that about it for sure.
And it really opens itself up to some unique shots. So then we got the AEW World Championship Eliminator match between Swerve and Kyle Fletcher. This was an interesting match, Alex, because it really, more than anything, was used as a device to tell the story of the Don Callis family, yeah, more than even just Swerve having a successful mm-hmm. first match as champion. What do you think of the approach here?
I expected Swerve to get on the mic after he won the match and Daly's place to give him his flowers, you know, while he talked about his plans as champion. They've said we're going to reveal next week who his challenger will be at Double or Nothing. I guess I don't pay attention to the rankings. I figured we would have a few more matches for everybody else to sort that out, and then whoever's number one in, like, since it's literally a whole month from now, I'm looking at the calendar, like, it's a whole month from now, maybe two more weeks of matches where we sort everything out, and then we go, mm-hmm. oh, so-and-so's number one in the rankings, now we got 2 weeks to build the pay-per-view match, as opposed to, we're just going to name it. And so that seems odd as well to me, but I'm here for it, depending, I guess, on who it is. But I just thought they would be more like, welcome your new AEW yeah. world champion, yeah. Swerve yep. Strickland. And that didn't feel like we got a lot of that. I like the match. I think Kyle Fletcher's great. And, you know, Swerve beat him as you knew he would.
Emphasis was on him ignoring Don Callis's instructions. Yeah. Don called a play. Yes. And Kyle ignored
play number four, Melbourne. I don't know what 1, 2, and 3 is. I'm assuming Sydney, Perth, and Adelaide. But like Melbourne, that's number four. And five is Brisbane. Like they're all named after cities in Australia. And so play number four is get a table and put Swerve through it.
Which wouldn't help you win the match because you would be disqualified.
Wouldn't help you win the match, which is odd. But Kyle decides to go into business for himself, I guess, and decides to win it the right way, which Callis doesn't like. I realize now I do have a limit on how much Don Callis I can have on commentary, and it is one match. One match is the limit of how much Don Callis I can have on commentary. It's one match.
There was a lot of Don Callis on the show. That is for sure. There was a lot of Don Callis. But I agree with you. The match was good. I thought they told a good story, too, with the selling of the ankle. That got us to Thunder Rosa being backstage, and she was being interviewed, and she kind of insinuated that Deonna Purrazzo got in her business in the pay-per-view match in which she mm-hmm. lost to Toni Storm. Then Deonna came out and confronted her. There was a pull apart. You know, Deonna, I love Deonna as a performer. I think she's fantastic. The character in which she was presented as she came in as a babyface, with no clear definition of what her virtuosa moniker truly means within the mm-hmm. context of AEW. Sure. I think that this backstage segment is to set up some change with that and maybe take her on a different direction. What say you?
Well, I mean, Rosa and Purrazzo are now, this is what I was hoping for, is we're going to get a high profile, I hope, and fairly lengthy non-title women's feud between two top women. That's great. That's great for women's division. That you should be able to do that. Not every feud you do should have to be based around one of the two titles. So this could be really good. I think they'll work really well together. I think you'll probably see Deonna maybe given a little bit more to the Jersey side, and maybe she'll, I don't know, attack Thunder Rosa with a tire iron. I don't know.
A little stereotype.
Of course. Yeah.
As a Jersey guy.
Yeah. No, I understand.
I am deeply offended.
Yeah, I understand. I was, in fact, casting aspersions directly at you. So I think this could be a lot of fun. Deonna will probably wind up being the heel in it. It should be a really fun feud. So it's on Rampage Saturday. I don't feel like, it's on Rampage on Saturday. Goodbye, folks. The feud is over. Like that's probably a taste. They're probably going to brawl, double count out, something that's going to, some schmozzy thing that's going to lead to a longer feud to me.
Well, you have any idea of who you think could end up coming out on top of it? Like who would you be wagering on in that one?
I, I guess it all depends on what they're doing with Toni Storm at Double or Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe they want that person positioned, whoever goes on top, to be challenging for the championship. And if Toni Storm loses it, you want the heel coming after it. If Toni Storm wins, you want Thunder Rosa declaring, I want another shot at it, whether or not she gets it. So I would assume Thunder Rosa will be positioned over Deonna Purrazzo at the end of the feud. I hope it's a kind of a cool, like, we get like three matches. We're 1-1 going to the rubber match and we'll see what happens. I hope that's what we get, but.
Well, if you'd like to hedge your bets elsewhere, I've got an idea for you.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football. It's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
Buzz Lightbeer saying, I love this wrestling shit. I may just move to Jacksonville. I'll tell you, man, it really is such a great venue to watch wrestling in Daly's Place. If you haven't had a chance to, definitely make sure that you do. Jambeard also saying, not going to lie, this felt like a new era episode for AEW. You agree with that?
Yeah. Certainly could be. We could look back on this night as the beginning of something huge as an angle. We also may look back on it and the beginning of, like, if this fizzles out and they don't handle the angle right, we could look back on this and go, we were so excited on that night, and like 6 weeks later it looked bad. So I don't know. I'm hoping for it. I'm hoping for it to be this really cool thing going forward.
We saw an Ospreay versus Danielson video recap really putting over the enormity of the match, and also Ospreay maybe having a little remorse about hurting Danielson in the way that he did, which was a little breadcrumb.
Yes. Yeah, no, that looks to be a thing where it'll be leading through everything. It's cool that it's an angle that will probably affect Danielson going forward. Like, it's a thing like, holy crap. Now I really need to think about when my retirement date is. How much longer can I do this? You know, I'm going to retire, but oh crap, I almost really got hurt. And also Ospreay refusing to go for the kill apparently is something that Don Callis cannot abide. So that's probably going to lead more to their breakup.
I would agree with that. Mina Shirakawa with Mariah May in her corner defeated Anna Jay. There's a beatdown after the match. Toni Storm makes the save. And then as Toni Storm makes the save, Serena Deeb comes out and says she is coming for the AEW Women's Championship. There was a lot going on in this segment.
A lot.
I was cool with the match. I think Mariah May has added a lot of dynamic to the AEW women's division. She's a very versatile player, and she plays the Toni Storm wannabe role. Then she comes out here and she's in a totally different role with her Club Venus stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, in, as far as trying to get someone like Mina over with this audience, you know, having her associated with her helps. Toni makes a save. So then Serena Deeb coming out, and they cut the promo in a very unique way where she's kind of just staring into the camera and she says, I'm not touching this belt because the next time I do is when I'm going to be champion.
Yep.
Moving pieces can be good. Sometimes they overlap one another, but for the most part, Alex, I was pretty cool with the execution of this. What say you?
I like this too. There's this Mina thing that's like a wrinkle within the story. It's a story within the story that's going to help the Mariah May, Toni Storm character. Anna Jay has been this thing that's kind of flitting here and there around this Toni Storm thing, Mariah May. She really doesn't like Mariah May at all. So there's that as well as this. As Mariah May, I think blooms more to somebody we're going to be rooting for, because I do think it's coming down to Mariah May versus Toni Storm for that title, with Mariah May beating Toni Storm for it.
But here's the thing, Alex. Toni Storm is so obviously a babyface. She's a babyface. In her actions, she's still heelish. But she is a babyface. She gets babyface reactions.
Right. She does get babyface reactions. She's a nominally a heel, but we enjoy everything that she does. And it's possible. I mean, that's certainly what I don't think we should have her.
But here's the problem. I'm not meaning to cut you off. I apologize, but it is affecting the way that her matches are ingested by these audiences, because they're rooting for her over the baby faces. They're rooting for her over Deonna Purrazzo. She was mostly rooted for over Thunder Rosa. And that's where I think you have to look in the mirror and say, well, maybe there's somewhat of a pivot here that has to happen, where then Mariah May becomes the heel out of this rather than the baby face.
Right. I think that that the character is ripe for an abrupt shift into paranoia and abuse towards Mariah May.
Okay. If
you were to go that way, we would see the crowd switch pretty quick, because I think everybody also really likes Mariah May. So if that's the route they're going to go with, I think you can do that. I would say she was definitely cheered more over Deonna, because Deonna was new to that crowd. Mm-hmm. And she was also came across as, to the uninitiated, as kind of arrogant, maybe. But I do think there was at least a 50-50 split on Thunder Rosa, because the crowd still loves her from years ago.
Sure. So
there's that kind of thing. But I don't disagree with you, but I think there's a really easy way to make her go even more insane in a way that we don't like, as opposed to a way that we do like.
That's fair. What do you think about Serena Deeb here, presumably being a potential number one contender?
She came back months ago and immediately said, I'm the final boss here. I'm the leader of the locker room. I'm coming for titles. And now she's just finally said, this is the one I'm coming for.
Yeah.
Or I'm coming after you. And that's good. I want there to be more story now. If this is truly the match, we're doing a double or nothing. Now let's figure out how to get there from here. Toni seemed just completely shocked. I do not know who this woman is, basically. Serena Deeb, as so no-nonsense as she is, and straight-faced and completely deadpan, to have Toni Storm doing promo segments with her could be a lot of fun.
No-selling
all of the craziness. So
it certainly could be. A lot of moving pieces in that division. We're going to get to more on that in a second. I want to get this super chat in from Scott real quick. After an awesome pay-per-view, this is exactly what AEW needs, a really good follow-up to keep fans tuned in. Also, shout-out to my wife, Rosie. It's our anniversary. She the best. Happy anniversary to you, Scott. Sending you all the best and all the happiness. So a rarity for AEW here, back-to-back women segments on this show. We got Willow Nightingale having her AEW TBS title celebration, which was lots of pomps and circumstances by Stokely, by Statlander. Even Caprice Coleman got a little rap in on commentary. I love Caprice, love me some ice. And Willow's cutting a fiery babyface promo, and she is once again interrupted by Mercedes Moné. And commentary reiterates again that this is the fifth time that Mercedes Moné has stolen Willow's spotlight. And Willow says that the last time she beat Mercedes, it was because of the injuries. She didn't like those circumstances. Now she wants to beat her clean.
Right.
And Mercedes says that this is her chance to enjoy her last month as TBS champion, because it's going to be her next. They get in a little intense stare down, some jaw jacking, and Mercedes goes to slap. Statlander interjects, and then Mercedes slaps, thinking that it was Willow, but it was actually Statlander. So there's some more moving pieces here too, Alex, where not only are they building this Willow versus Mercedes match, but also dissension with Chris Statlander here with Willow.
Yeah. I think there's something here that somebody in our chat, The Sarah Grapp Shed on Fightful Select, I think, came up with this, and I've glommed onto it, and it's the only thing I want out of this, because it's just so evil. At Double or Nothing, it's revealed that Stokely and Statlander have been working with Mercedes the whole time.
Oh, I think that's exactly where this is going.
And Mercedes says, "You took everything from me, and I have taken everything from you. Your title, your best friend, your manager, everything." So that when you have Willow lose the title after a month to Mercedes, now the story becomes about Willow by herself clawing her way back to that title. And if it takes 8 months for her to do it, then that's the story of the TBS championship. I think it's great.
Exactly. And it's a vulnerability storyline. Yeah. Like the baby face was vulnerable. She had it taken advantage of, and now you have to climb back. I mean, that's I really do believe that's exactly where it's going, especially since in the promo, they emphasized that Willow didn't really like Stokely at first, but she learned to trust him. So I think that was very much laid there on purpose. Steph, the writer, saying, "Love Mercedes, but I'm annoyed they made us wait so long for Willow's moment, and it's going to be so short." But if there is more to come from it, Alex, it could be different.
I think you're going to get two title reigns out of this. The first one is going to be short, and the ending of that title reign will be brutal and sad. And then you're going to get Willow, as the great baby face she is, doing everything her power to get back to that title match, and Mercedes making sure that path back to it is as difficult as possible, with mercenary after mercenary standing in her way, all this stuff, because money makes the world go round. Money talks, and that's what she's going to do. She's going to pay off all these people to stop Willow from doing it. But when Willow finally gets that match after 8-10 months and beats Mercedes for the title and gets it the second time, then you'll see a longer title reign, because she'll finally have that in her rearview mirror. I think that's what they should do.
She's such a great baby face, and we haven't even truly scratched the surface with her either.
No.
So hoping there's more to come for her. I thought she was great on the mic. Mercedes, there were some parts of this that felt like bad high school theater at times, in the segment in general, I mean. But I love the confidence from Willow at the very least. Which is a good thing to hang on. Alex Marvez interviewing the Elite. Matt Jackson announces that there's going to be a meeting in the ring, which then got us, and I'm just going to let you roll with this here, man. It got us to our casino gauntlet for the international title contendership. They did not explain any rules going into this. This match was not promoted.
It was not.
And Will Ospreay wins it to set up an international championship match with Roderick Strong. But please take us through the madness that was this gauntlet match.
They kept telling us over and over again, Excalibur, Taz, Shivani, that they had no idea what this match was. They didn't even know it was on the card before the show started. Now, I don't know how much of that is true, but it certainly wasn't advertised. If somebody had said, a couple of days ago, they put this on Twitter, there's going to be a casino gauntlet match where guys are going to keep coming in until the first dude gets a pinfall, and the winner of that pinfall gets Roddy Strong at Double or Nothing. You would have seen all of AEW Twitter coming up with who they want to see in the match, who they think will win it, all this kind of, it would have been gotten a lot of buzz going around it. Cause also I think it's a great idea for a match. Mm-hmm. I've never contemplated this, but they kept saying during it, we don't even know how many people are going to come down here. And by the end, they were like, we're told it's a maximum of 21 guys. And I was really like, that's how many guys are in the locker room tonight? That's how many guys flew into Jacksonville.
I think the wording was, we've got 21 guys in the back prepared to come out here.
Yeah,
tonight.
There you go. Yeah. there should have been Ned Flanders in the chat. Heidely ho. He says there should have been a countdown. That would have been nice for the crowd. That would have been nice. But I think that the idea of the match is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever seen it. I wouldn't mind if this was how the international title challenger was decided, just as a formal, this is how we decide who's coming for the international title next. I wouldn't mind that at all. But when we saw Jay White started out, Dante Martin, Kyle O'Reilly, Penta. Kyle O'Reilly came in there. I was like, Kyle O'Reilly with a haircut.
Yes, he did.
Kyle, I was like, Kyle O'Reilly's probably winning this because Roddy Strong would never give him a rematch, right? Like, so that's how he gets his rematch, and that's how he wins the international title from Roddy Strong at Double or Nothing. But then when Will Ospreay's music hit, I was like, what is happening? Because listen, Orange Cassidy had an amazing run with the international title, but it just kind of felt like it's Orange Cassidy's title that he carries with him in a JanSport, has great matches, but you know, they were telling the story of he kept getting more and more banged up. He lost to Moxley, whatever, but it didn't really ever feel like this was on par with the TNT title. And I think that with Will Ospreay winning this and saying, I want this title, he's beating Roddy Strong for it. Let's all be honest. You all know that right now. That immediately puts the international title on the same level as the TNT title because Will Ospreay is holding it. If Will Ospreay wants this title, it becomes the title you want to get because getting it means you beat the best in the world. Also, what this does is if he's basically the greatest intercontinental champion in AEW history, if that's what they're going to position him as, it allows Swerve to keep the belt through All In because Will Ospreay will come in wearing that title and defend it against an amazing opponent. We don't know who it is yet. It'll be almost like a double main event.
It'll be leveling up that championship.
Yeah. And if he carries it for 9-12 months and has amazing feuds for it, really great matches, it makes that title way more prestigious.
Well, especially if that championship is like known as the Will Ospreay title.
The Will Ospreay title. Yeah.
Like that's a big deal. I mean, it's international. And if you want to do things internationally, we got a way to help you do that too. Okay.
You've heard me talk about a lot of things that NordVPN.com/Fightful has, and I'm about to tell you almost everything it has. Listen to your favorites abroad. If you're traveling and you want to listen to your favorite shows, they got you covered. Fastest VPN in the world. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals. So that way your IP address is changed. You can safely listen to podcasts, stream shows, simply browse in complete privacy. You can protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi no matter where it is. You can secure every device you own on every operating system you own. They also have the ability to get a NordPass password manager. Maybe it's a little more difficult for you to remember those passwords. They got you covered. They also got the file encryption tool. That way there's an extra layer of security between you and your content. Threat protection, you're safe from disruptions with their kill switch, 24/7 tech support, fastest VPN on the planet, reliable encryption, a 30-day money-back guarantee. You will end up saving money when you subscribe to NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Thank you so much for that. Sean, we got so many super chats to get to, and I promise you guys we're going to get to them. Almost all of them are about the main event, so I want to get to those, but burn through some of these from Tom right here. Congrats to Mark Briscoe and his wife on their new baby today, Matthew Jamin Pugh. So a nice allusion to his late brother, of course. Yep. Tracy, one of the only times I've been here live, welcome, Tracy, because of the live West Coast feed. Love AEW at 5 p.m. PST. Do you think they'll consider this moving forward?
No, I don't think so. That's either. Not usually how cable runs.
No, that's generally not how it runs, absolutely. But we're glad that you're here. We really appreciate you being here.
Yes, thank you for being
here. That's for sure. Let's keep going here. They also, by the way, they made this official Bullet Club Gold versus Top Flight and Andretti on Collision for the Trios titles. That was made official out of this. So yeah, that should be a fun match here. goodness, I gotta find the exact. I want everyone to see this one, but I'll read it as I find it. Dong Phallus saying,
"Yes,
why new Ring of Honor Trios belt designed just before unification?"
I don't know. I don't know what the new belts are going to look like. If they're going to, you know, I'm not sure. I honestly don't know what the deal was with that. When the decision was to made it to be unified, or how that's going to work. Unfortunately.
Moo Cow 1980 saying, in the spirit of tonight's AW Dynamite on TBS, I will crank my white noise machine up to max volume so that I can't hear most of what you guys say.
I did not have any audio issues.
I didn't have any audio issues either.
I have no idea. Like, it must have been a different service than what I was watching.
It was a TBS thing. Tony Khan said it was a TBS thing, but I watch it because in the room I typically work from, I don't have a TV, so I watch it on my computer. Mm-hmm. And I had the TBS stream on my computer, mm-hmm. and I didn't have any issues.
Yeah, me either.
So that's interesting. That's funny that everyone.
I read a whole lot of people complaining about it. I was like, am I watching the wrong episode? Like, I didn't know what I was missing. But yeah.
Yeah, I everything ended up working out fine for me. Real quick on the Mercedes front, United Slapnut says, should the CEO join the elite as she turns?
I mean, CEO certainly sounds like it, you know, like, let's make it an actual title, you know, obviously in kayfabe. I don't know. It wouldn't be a bad thing for her to at least have an informal alliance with them. Like, that might be fun to, like, just show like a little boardroom thing where like Matt and Nick Jackson are shaking hands with her, giving like the big cheesy grin and the thumbs up. That could be fun.
We had Shibata calling out Jericho for the FTW title. And that brought us Chris Jericho, where he is explaining the learning tree, which is in fact going to be a faction. He has a new theme song. And who is to interrupt but none other than Big Bill, who does the bait and switch. And he says that he, in fact, has so much he can learn from Chris Jericho.
Yes.
And Chris Jericho's nodding along, as in, yes, yes, you can. Mm. So, Alex, the decision here that they're making is to lean into the bit as hard as they can.
That's not a decision. You have to do that. So
they're going to do the whole Bo Dallas thing where Chris Jericho really believes genuinely in his heart that he is the savior of the universe here, helping the rest of AEW find their footing.
Yep.
I've never heard you have any opinions on Chris Jericho, so I'm really curious in what you have to say about this.
No. So here we go. We got a couple of humper chats here about Chris Jericho. I'm going to read it out of this document. I'm sorry, but I have absolutely no interest in Jericho's new Mr. Rogers routine. Welcome to Sesame Street learning tree gimmick. Plus, he's dragging Big Bill into being his Big Bird sidekick. Just need him to go away for a bit. Maybe to PBS with that gimmick, says Jordan Scott. And New Lack City says, Alex, you know you're my guy, and I've been on the anti-Jericho crusade for a long time. But if we have to have Jericho around, this might be the best way. A heel with no self-awareness. It's actually not a bad gimmick. I guess my point is, I don't feel like we need to have him around. So, like, this is, we'll see where this goes and who he corrupts. Like, I think Big Bill is an incredibly talented big man, one of the most talented big men. When you consider the charisma with which he performs in the ring, I think he's incredibly talented. And unlike what Jericho says about how when people come are drawn into the Jericho Vortex, they come out much better. Well, like, the reason we called it the Jericho Vortex, and he stole that from us, is because the opposite happens.
Right. They should have a bunch of talent who are like, yeah, I gain nothing from working with Chris Jericho.
Right. So I just hope Big Bill does not come out worse for wear, like literally everybody else who's ever been a part of the, like, we never got to see Proud and Powerful be the tag team champs because they had to back up Chris Jericho whenever stupid faction wars he was a part of. We never got to see them go out and have tag team title run. There was they just, nobody could do anything else because Jericho was there and you had to be the Jericho's lackeys. So Big Bill coming out, what I sincerely hope won't happen is this is all a smokescreen run by Big Bill to like allow for that he's insincere about this because it did feel like William Morrissey thought this was a crock of crap. Like, so I don't know. We'll see. This was definitely not for me. Watching Shibata lose to Jericho in an FTW rules match will not be for me, but I guess this is the thing in AEW that's always going to confound me, is that there will always be something for me to hate or be sour about, with AEW as long as Jericho is still a performer there, because it's
I did like work. Shibata complimenting Renee Paquette's Rhinestone Heart.
I do worry for his safety though, if Moxley ever watches these interviews.
Oh my goodness. Jambeard saying, not gonna lie, a fun tag team that could join the Learning Tree, the Work Horsemen. And Louis says, no, let them be Hoopers against FTR and Collision. Now, I love the Work Horsemen. I've been watching the Work Horsemen for 6-7 years, I want to say now. JD Drake is one of the most underutilized performers in all of AEW. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Henry is as good as anyone you're going to see from a pure wrestling standpoint. So right. I would advocate for more of them on TV. I don't know about them fitting in.
Not if they're like taking pins for Jericho.
Well, I'm saying I don't know how I feel about them in this group.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I want to see them more on TV, but not if they're like, don't worry, boss, we got it. And they don't got it. Like, that's we don't need them to be Imperium for Jericho's Gunther, because that ruined Imperium to the point they had to break them up. So, yeah, I don't need that.
Yeah, I feel that. That got us to the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. Jon Moxley defeated Powerhouse Hobbs. The reasoning for this essentially was Callis said he set up the Alpha Omega match back in 2018 for New Japan, and they owed him one, so he was able to get an IWGP title match for Hobbs on Dynamite. So that was an interesting roundabout way of getting into that, I suppose. Yeah, physical match. I think this was kind of exactly what you'd expect it to be. Right. I've always liked Hobbs. Unfortunately, I think Hobbs is just kind of pigeonholed in a certain role in AEW, and maybe he'll be able to get past that one day. I hope he can. He's very talented. Mm. But, you know, I mean, look, it's not a bad spot to be in by any means, a championship match against Jon Moxley. But I'd say business was done and it accomplished what it needed to.
Yeah, I'm worried about Hobbs. That looked like that he wasn't putting any weight on that. So, that looked like a sell. That looked like he wrecked his knee and he was trying to fight through it.
Yeah, we did get a super chat. I'm trying to find it here. It's from James. He said, anyone have an update on Hobbs? He looked hurt. I have not heard anything.
He was putting zero weight on that thing. When you're selling, you're able to actually move around the ring. You're just doing a limp. You're playing a limp. He wasn't playing anything. He couldn't put weight on that foot. So I'm hoping he's not badly injured.
Maybe Sean Ross Sapp will have an update on that soon. And of course, if it's with injuries, Sean always puts that to the free tier of Fightful Select. But for other news, FightfulSelect.com is your place to get that. Best $5 in wrestling. Of course, WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com is a really good $5 too. It's actually a $4.99, but that's besides the point. We talk about that, Sean and I. We debate that every now and then, alongside Bruce Springsteen too, which he's a dick about. But that got us to our main event segment that we talked a lot about already. But Jack Perry is out. He says he always wants the best for AEW. Tony Khan comes out. Tony Khan, like I said before, he's Smiley McGee. He's so excited to be out there in Jacksonville, his home. Jack Perry wants to bury the hatchet, move forward, have himself reinstated. Big, over-exaggerated, cartoonish handshake.
It was like the mega powers exploding. You know?
Very reminiscent to Eric Bischoff and Vince McMahon shaking hands, by the way. Yeah. The parallels between some of the stuff that has happened in the past life of Eric Bischoff and the current life of Tony Khan. It's just so funny to me, and on a super meta level, obviously. But they shake hands, big exaggerated hug. And then we get the Jack Perry smirk. And you know that shit's about to go down. And he gut punches him with the microphone. Tony somehow takes a back bump and then flips forward. Then he starts selling his gut. The Elite come out. What are you doing? What are you doing? Let's help Tony up. Teasing they're going to hit the EVP trigger.
And then they looked around and they're like, no, we would never do that. And then Okada picked him up. And I thought they were going to tease the Rainmaker, which they didn't do it. But then he was like, nah. And then they do the TK driver, full-on TK driver. Couldn't believe it.
They do the TK driver, and Tony Khan dies a death. Mm. All the the Elite backtrack up the entranceway. What are you going to do? You know, it's been great to see you here, Jacksonville.
Thank you, Jacksonville. Great audience. Thank you. Great crowd. Thank you. Come again.
Then the baby faces come to the ring to check on Tony. Might have been cool if the baby faces like helped Tony before that happened, but that's besides the point.
They were all in catering.
You know, all 21 of them
had
been part of that gauntlet. Right. They were very tired.
That's right.
And then again, Shad Khan makes his official in canon debut here, checking on Tony. Jam Beard saying Shad Khan about to set linebacker Josh Allen on Jack Perry. Suppose that is possible. The Elite run Jacksonville, says the custodian Lexus King Trevor Lawrence. Count your days. Lots of people having fun with this. A massive, massive angle here, whether you thought it was good or not. It was massive. Jordan Cooper, one of those Wrestling According to Alba subscribers, by the way, and a Fightful Select subscriber, says, I'd love it if Tony Khan was out injured next week and the whole Dynamite episode was kayfabe booked and produced completely by the new heel Elite, which they've done some stuff, Alex, where it's like the Elite directing the segment. They interrupted that FTR video package. So yes. I think that could be a fun creative way to take this.
Yeah, no, I love that idea. They should. Like, he should be out and not at the show. And who's next in line to run the show but the Young Bucks, who get to fully book the show and do whatever they want, and everybody has to like beg them for a spot on the card and everything. And you know, like, well, we do have a Kenny Omega segment that we did promise the people of Winnipeg, and so we're gonna do a Kenny Omega segment by beating the crap out of Kenny Omega. I don't know, there's a lot of stuff that they could do there, but I love that idea.
Yeah, I think that could be a lot of fun. Irene saying Kenny's return next week involves him confronting the Elite as the only babyface with any authority, just to get jumped since he has surgery soon. So that would be the way of putting Kenny on the shelf permanently, she's suggesting. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely plausible. They could do it that way. Corey saying they're taking Kenny out so he can get surgery, aren't they? So a lot of people seem to be thinking about that. Johnny, big man. I'm trying here. Sorry, the stream is being a little laggy here, guys. Bucks take over booking AW versus the Elite. They kill Kenny next week. They book Jack Perry versus Swerve, the face versus the man, bringing the downfall. I didn't think about Jack Perry versus Swerve. What do you make of that?
I mean, that's certainly what if Okada, let's say Okada is perfectly content being the Continental Champion, then yeah, the Bucks being like, well, when you get Jack Perry some gold, let's you know, it's either Jack Perry versus him, or Jack Perry beats Copeland for the title. Like, if basically everything, you know, around there, so it's like Swerve can have his reign, but it's we'll see. Honestly, if Copeland comes out and says, I didn't like what you guys did, then they're gonna target Copeland. I can't imagine Swerve cutting a promo being like, I don't like the cut of your jib, sir. Like, that's not what Swerve does.
That's not what Adam Copeland
does. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah. I feel like that might be the way, but I feel like Jack Perry's definitely coming after a singles title with the Young Bucks backing.
Curtis PhD, TK deserved this for not giving us commemorative pay-per-view chairs at Dynasty. Also, Jericho made me go on my phone. Not good. Sorry you didn't get your chair there, pal. Another one, N. Simmons 211. My only gripe with this is the storyline is they kept Kenny a secret and he came out as a surprise. I think next week would hit much harder for me. While I understand that, being in Winnipeg promoting that seems like something that would help the live crowd push tickets.
It was also the venue that put that out first, and then AEW confirmed it. So maybe there was going to be a surprise. But once the venue was like, hey, we know a secret, Kenny Omega's gonna be here, they're like, yeah, there's a reason it was a secret, but okay, yes, Kenny Omega will be there.
Oops. Chi-Town Spurs, I absolutely dreaded this angle, but the execution was so good, I think it's gonna pay off. So optimism there. Jordan saying for a second, I thought Tony was taking a rainmaker. I think that's, they wanted you to think that.
Yeah.
That was exactly it. We got so many super chats to get here. Sorry. Corey saying Max MJF could come back to save AEW from the Elite. What a turn that would be, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's certainly a possibility. I don't know how long he'll be out. We have not gotten an update on how those were not like light injuries. Like he was dealing with a lot of bad stuff. So I don't know how long he'll be out.
Yeah. Another one from Corey saying, I just stopped laughing and then effing Shot Khan showed up and I lost it again. Shot Khan showed up was a legendary moment. That was absolutely. That Sawyer saying, I was about to put over how the women's division suddenly became the best thing in AEW and then that final segment happened. What a damn show. Did you feel that way about the show, Alex?
I thought that I was very excited for Tony versus Serena, Mariah May involved, Thunder Rosa versus Deonna as a non-title feud. I love what I firmly believe at this point is going to be Mercedes Moné and Willow story enveloping Statlander and probably some other ones as well for the next all the way until 2025 at this point. So like I was very excited for Women's Division. I thought this is an awesome show to show what we have brewing there. And then the last segment really did make me forget about almost everything on the show. Like as I was walking up the stairs after that segment, I was like, what else happened? Oh, right. Ospreay versus Roderick Strong, which is a friggin' dream match for me. Okay. Like it was a great show, but that last one, man, overshadowed everything.
Here's a good idea from Notorious Greg. Tony needs to be kayfabe hurt till after Double or Nothing. The Bucks do the presser for him.
Such a great idea.
Stella Justin Lopez, I'm invested in an AEW angle for the first time in a long time. The way he sold the mic shot as if he was shanked had me in tears.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, know, Tony Khan has been waiting since he was 7 years old to sell something in pro wrestling. Yeah. So that was a big moment for him. C. Delgado 6 loved it, but TK better sell during the NFL draft. Well, he sold the moves. That is for damn sure. Richard, that was on the level of Bischoff being powerbombed by the Outsiders. You willing to go that far, Alex?
I mean, that's a long time ago. I will. We have the benefit of hindsight on that. So I will say, let's see where we're at All In, where all of this has gone. If Tony Khan is, you know, just okay, well, this didn't work, and we're not. He'll be a. You know, if Tony Khan's like, that was great. I had a taste of being an on-air performer. The show is about me now. Like, I mean, I don't think he's gonna do it, but that would be terrible. Like, there's a lot of stuff where this could go wrong. But if they play this right, I think we'll look back on tonight as a huge step for AEW.
Apparently, Mercedes tweeted about TK being attacked and said, say hello to your new CEO. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Well, Hidden Network says, correct me if I'm wrong, but did TK mention that he will not be involved as an on-screen character? There's been a lot of things TK said since the beginning of AEW.
Like 5 years ago? Like, I mean, listen, I think he had no plans when this thing started for him to ever be an on-screen character. I think plans change. And I think this was, at this point, a very good decision. Because it's going to make the Elite into this new Elite thing into the most talked about thing on the show.
Yeah. I mean, he also said when they launched that the Jaguars would have no involvement with AEW. And we know that was not the case there.
Right.
The White Llama shown. Nah, I was picturing Tony Khan getting attacked and suddenly from the back walks Eric Bischoff with a shit-eating grin. I promise you.
That would have been some long-term storytelling.
I promise you with every fiber of my existence that was never the plan, will never be the plan. And, never go.
That would have been a workety work if that's what... oof.
Yeah, I assure you that's not the case. RJ, I want to see TK sell his injuries tomorrow. Talking about the draft there.
Of course.
Shadow saying the Elite put out a video saying why they beat up Tony Khan. Obviously, we've been on air.
I haven't seen it. So
if anyone has any details on that, please let us know, because I definitely would like to have some idea of what the deal is with that. Jake, if Tony Khan doesn't show up at a draft in a wheelchair, neck brace, and yell Adam at Adam Schefter, I'm going to riot.
That would be fun.
DNC Digital, I'm interested if this is where they were going to be, if this is where they were going by playing the footage. I can admit my opinion of it being a bad idea was wrong. Has everyone talking? You think this was the plan when they set up the footage?
I think it was to, like, because to like start this whole Jack Perry thing. Jack Perry having a reason to come back, to join forces with the Young Bucks, to then get to this point, may have been a justification for showing the footage, but I do feel like it was a direct response to the CM Punk interview, and they're trying to justify that with also story stuff as well.
So they're saying basically Jack Perry was mad he had 8 months stolen from him, and his attack on TK was payback. That's what the video.
That makes sense. That's certainly in Perry's mind, a justified response.
Yeah, for sure. We got Meet Normus, sup partners. Sometimes I do the Nana dance in elevators or during Burger King commercials. Takeshita Mox will be a meat fest. Can't wait. They did set that up. I didn't mention that. That should be an excellent match.
That's going to be amazing. Yeah, that's. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Mox fits into all of this.
Yeah.
Because Mox has been one of the main characters who's always, for better or for worse, had AEW's back.
He's you know what I mean? Their John Cena. Absolutely.
Like there's a lot of stuff that they could do there. He feels to me like the DDP against the NWO type of thing.
But so that we'll could see. Be Max too. That could be
Max too. Like we'll see where all this, if it becomes like the New Elite versus Team AEW, and you have very different types of Team AEW, all putting it together in like a blood and guts match.
Whenever that happens, Alex, and we see Team AEW backstage, Sting better be there freaking leading them with a rah-rah speech. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, how great would that be? That would be awesome. Irene, another one. If the Elite are the top heel faction, what babyface faction opposes them? BCC, does Bullet Club Gold turn face? Does Ospreay form a United Empire in AEW? No, I think it's just going to be like a Team AEW sort of thing. And like all these people who have been... put down by the New Elite and leading. I mean, we both agree that's where this is headed eventually, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like it's got to. I do not know how long it will take, but I feel like the end result of this is the bad guys, Team Elite, which probably ends up adding a couple more dudes, versus Team AEW, in a blood and guts match. I feel like that's the end game of this. I just don't know how long that's going to take before we get to that end game.
I mean, that could be it all in, for all we know. Could be months down the line. Could be even further down the line than that. There was one from Jambeat earlier, since both John and Sean was here. What are your guys' takes on the U.S. banning non-compete clauses? So Jimmy Van and I spoke at length about that on The Hump today. So if you haven't checked it out over on the Fightful YouTube, please do. You can get the full answer there. But if the cliff notes, both Jimmy and I didn't think this is going to affect pro wrestling very much ultimately,
probably not.
Yeah. WWE does pay out during their non-competes too.
Right.
So I don't foresee that really having too much of,
I would love to see somebody, especially now with this ruling, take them to court, because now they have this ruling that like further backs up their case in court. But it would take a crazy amount of legal fees to do it. I just don't know if anybody's actually going to ever do it. I would like to see what happens, because people have been talking about whether or not this is legal since they're independent contractors for a long time. I would like to see how that's turned out.
So I want to, this wasn't a super chat, but I want to post this up before we bounce here. This is a really interesting idea. Manuel saying Double or Nothing will be TK betting his control of AEW against the Elite Survivor Series style. The betting theme fits the story.
I really like that.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Kind of dig that. Last super chat of the night. Old Hanger will probably be involved in the Elite storyline. Killer Animator 90 says, maybe. Maybe at some point. Yeah. But probably not right away. I think not Swerve is probably the direction for him first.
Sure.
Before that.
We have some Humper chats here that I'm going to
read.
Yes,
please.
Bucks should bring back Hangman to take on Swerve. Like, that he's their guy that they bring in to take on Swerve as though. Perhaps. I mean, we'll see where that goes as well. Powerbomb Me Wardlow says, TK should wear a neck brace in case they show the Jags war room this weekend for the draft coverage. Everyone seems to have that idea. I love it. He should definitely do it. Ryan Dubb says, I love that ending. It's time to lean into it all. Freddie McCowan says, not nuts on Tony doing an on-camera thing, but it was nicely done. Where was the baby faces to save the beloved TK? They needed some, and they kept, and they kept them keeping them out of the ring with chairs or something. Having Dad there was a nice get. He sold it well. He really did. He Zed Khan had no idea what was going on.
Maybe that's what made his selling great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting from Sean Martin. Give Jack Perry the real world championship. If it's still around, dust it off. Give that to Jack Perry. Let him carry that around.
Goodness gracious.
And then Kylie says Dynamite was fun. Hello, Sir Alba, Sir Pulowski. Dynamite was fun. Swerve is my champion. I love Ospreay. Jack is cool. So could Linder give me some quick words of encouragement for work today? Some quick words of encouragement. That's all I've got. We've got to get out of here. We've got to get it. I'm encouraging you, Kylie. Have a great day of work. There you go.
Anything else, Alex Pulowski?
No. I think that was a really fun show. There's a lot. I don't want to let this get lost. Will Ospreay versus Roderick Strong is going to be an amazing good. Match of double nothing, and that's really going to set Will Ospreay off on an amazing trajectory moving forward in 2024. Already, it's going to be great.
I agree with you entirely. Guys, make sure you FightfulSelect.com. That's your place. That's your place. Best $5 in wrestling. Get them scoops. And thank you, Manuel. That's much appreciated for that. It was a great idea. Great idea that you had there. And I'm curious to see if they end up rolling with that, quite frankly. But make sure you check that out. Fightful.com, of course. Everything you need to know as far as pro wrestling news is concerned. And Fightful here on YouTube and Twitch. Get all the amazing content that Fightful is producing, including get some sour graps while you're at it. WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com is my Patreon. You can go check that out. Do some really unique content there, including a tape study that I do every week where we break down a match, whether it's a famous match, a recent match, and we study a match move for move. It's really cool content. That's WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com. And of course, we'll be back with you next week right after Dynamite here on Fightful. We appreciate you. He's Alex. I'm John. See you next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.